Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron here. You are on the bench for the next 3 hours right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. And of course, you can reach us on Twitter, and you can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN, or something like that. ESPN 975, something, I don't know, you'll find it.
The Twitch feed is also on our website page, so if you go to ESPN975.com, you should see your beautiful faces sitting right there to wake everybody
yeah.
up.
Yeah, our bright faces, my glowing face. I'm so greasy. Giant light in here now. I'm just a greasy.
We've got a giant orb. I wish you could see it.
Lance keeps hitting his head on it.
It's literally like...
He walks by and has hit it like three times already.
It's bigger than a beach ball.
It's much bigger.
It's lighting the show for our 30-watt viewers. It's like one of those exercise balls that you
do. I feel like I'm in a tanning booth.
Yeah, it's crazy how bright this thing is.
Yeah, that's how bright we are. So if you want to check it out on Twitch, you'll be able to find it somehow. I don't know. You're smarter than I am. So
I didn't know we're a television station now.
The most
that's cool
egregious of those was the last one. It was unbelievable. First of all, why isn't he coming up? Why isn't Moore coming up throwing? For one,
I don't know. That's what you've got to do just to make you throw it.
It's a 3-3 game in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And when Moore caught the ball, Tucker was just touching third.
It's where outfielders, so if there's a good chance you didn't see the play. You know, when outfielders, when they get to the ball, they come up and they're throwing.
Yeah.
Almost always, they're throwing into a spot where a cutoff man would be. A cutoff man stops it. And if a runner gets caught in between, then you got a chance to, you know, get them hung up and get the out. And if not, you cut it off and everything's good. He didn't even come up throwing.
And Tucker was just reaching third. I mean, literally, he gets the ball. Tucker's just touching third. Because for whatever reason, Tucker starts. The ball actually goes behind him. He's at second base. The ball goes behind him. Shortstop dives for it, but misses it. So Tucker stops for whatever reason. He would have been dead. If the shortstop catches it, dives, catches it, he's done. So why stop? Just go to third. For whatever reason, Tucker stops and then starts up again. And then there's no chance he could possibly score if Moore comes up throwing. He's dead. He's dead. And yet Moore just stands there and watches him score. That was the most unbelievable winning run I've ever seen. And Jake Meyers comes through again. Dude.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. Bases loaded in Texas. He comes up with the big double to clear the bases, but to bring home a couple of runs late in that Friday win, which was huge. And then he comes through again here. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who is just taking advantage of... He looks like a guy that's going to be around forever. He was killing it at Sugar Land, and he's like, you know what? This pitching ain't any tougher. He's hitting, what's he up to now? He was 324 going into...
He's 333 with an OPS. 333
right now.
883.
I mean, there's absolutely no way you could put McCormick back. You got to give this kid at bats every day.
No, he's the one. McCormick had flashes because he swung from his heels and he had some power. This kid's a complete player. He is a decent defensive center fielder, but he hits with some pop, but he also hits, but he's a good, he gets in a box and gets some good ABs. And that's the difference is he's a legitimate hitter in the box and he's been coming through so far for the year. He's got 72 in August, but that's how long he's been in the league. Basically, he's got 72 at bats. He's got 3 home runs during that time. He's got 16 RBIs. I mean, even if
and a lot of them are big RBIs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't have monster power, but he's got enough pop to eventually be a 20 home run player, I think, in the league. And right now he's 25 years old. So it's not like he's a young 22-year-old or 23-year-old. He's a 25-year-old, but he is self-made. He was not a big time player coming into the minors. He added 15 pounds of muscle, according to Julia Morales, when she was talking about him a couple weeks ago. And he's just become a really solid hitter on the major league level. It's his rookie year. It's only 72 at bats. But through this sample size, the game certainly doesn't look too big for him. The at bats certainly don't look too big for him. It really, I mean, you have a guy as you head into the playoffs. The back end of your roster now, when you look at it now, when Bregman has come back and now everyone's getting pushed down a little bit, you look at lineup, you look at 7, 8, 9 now, and there's no Miles Straw there. You know, for everyone who has this Miles Straw fetish, there is no Miles Straw. You do have Machete, who is, you know, very hit or miss when it comes to hitting. But this is, once again, 1 through 8, a really potent lineup.
Yeah. No, it is. It's awesome. It is awesome right now watching this kid, the way he is playing. He is really, really, really fun to watch.
Now, your offense didn't kill it yesterday. You had to have, you had to have him get a base. Like, you needed 2 runs in the 8th to end up winning this 4-3. It is a team, though, that's over 500. So, the Astros, how they show up for teams over 500. They're going to take care of business. And it's a team that has played pretty good baseball in the Mariners. They have really taken a step forward with their young talent. But the Astros, you had Brooks Raley, who someone compared to left-handed Doug Henry. I hadn't heard that name for a while, and that was not meant as a compliment. But then the job that Maton and Stanek and Presley did, 3 innings, 6 strikeouts, including Stanek struck out the side. It was a big performance by the bullpen over the final 3 innings to really shut down any hope for Seattle tacking on runs. Tacking on runs at first, and then it was just trying to overcome the one-run lead. Stanek and Presley did their jobs, and here you are, ladies and gentlemen, your Houston Astros playing a +500 team. You know what that means.
Yep.
You're going to get some good football.
You got some great baseball. That's a great way to start the series because Seattle's thinking they come in here and we can sweep them. We're certainly back into this thing. The A's are obviously out there watching and they've got their division hopes, and for the Astros to go in and start it that way, at the very least, you catch 1 out of 3, and the most that Seattle can pick up is a game. So it is, that's a great way to start the series, especially you got off to a good start with the 2 runs in the first inning, and then you were able to come back once again in the 8th inning. You're starting to add up some hits. They hadn't done that. Remember, what was it, 17, where they were close and late, they would win. They just came up with hit after hit after hit. And they were unstoppable late in games, and they were doing it every week. This year hasn't been really like that. They jumped out. They've got such a, you know, the discrepancy in runs and how many more they've been pounding teams, well, good teams, and they've had leads. But to come back now in just 4 days or in just 3 days with comeback wins in the eighth inning is really, really nice to show close and late and coming up with clutch hits. And it just seems like it's Jake Meyers all the time. Dude, I don't want to, you know, you never know how he's going to turn out. But as of right now, you know, the thought was Pedro León was going to be your center fielder of the future. I don't know. This guy's got wheels. This guy is really good. This guy's got a chance to be. He's doing it at the major league level. It looks like this guy could be your center field future. You know,
or left field.
But he's got speed. I mean, there's no reason. León now is probably going to play short when Carlos
leaves. Well, I mean, that's what they've shifted him over there for that very reason. And Carlos is already telling you, man, I hope we win in my last year here in Houston. And I believe it is his last year. The Astros have shown no inclination to get a deal done with him. They're not. I mean, it doesn't seem like they have an interest. And I'm telling you right now, Houston fans are going to be. You know, it's one thing to lose Charlie Morton after you won a World Series. That was disappointing. But, you're in the afterglow of winning a World Series. Then you lose George Springer, and it's like, well, you know, this sucks. But you understand it. George is on the other side of 30, and, you know, you got Carlos Correa's contract potentially coming up. And if you lose Correa, too, and you don't even take a swing, like you don't even get in a batter's box, you don't even step up to the tee box and give it a rip, that's going to really disappoint some people. I'm going to be very disappointed if you don't even get in the, like, you don't even enter your hat into the raffle.
Well, I we'll see. We'll see how that works out. That's a long ways off. We got Jimbo Fisher.
$240 million.
In the very near future. Jimbo Fisher joins us on the other side to talk about Texas A&M. He joins us every, and tell your friends, tell your neighbors, all you Aggie fans, and even not Aggie fans, Jimbo is entertaining, even if you're not a big, big Aggie fan. That's for sure. So he's going to join us at 7:15 every Tuesday right here on ESPN 97.5 starting today. And right now I'm talking about Doc Linville. I had a long conversation with somebody actually yesterday about Doc Linville, and I could not have recommended him more than I did. He is spectacular. The entire process, his staff, the neo-grafting, the whole process, the results. I did this before, and you know, they wanted me to do it so that I could advertise it, I could talk about it on the radio, and I did it with a different way that they did it, and they cut the back of your head, and boy, you get the headaches and the pain and everything else. This was so painless compared to that. The neo grafting is the way to go if you're and you know you're asking, is it successful? For me, it was spectacular. For me, it was great. If you're looking for results like I got, then you got to go see Doc Linville. At least talk to him and get the consultation. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Cars for Kids wants to make it very, very easy for you to help out a kid in need. There's so many young people who are looking for a second chance at a diploma. And look, you want to give it to them. You want to take advantage of the opportunity you have to help someone out. But you say, well, how can I do that? Well, I'll tell you one of the easiest ways. If you have a car or a truck or a motorcycle that's not running anymore, it doesn't work. It might be. But even if it's not, it doesn't matter to my friends over with Cars for Kids, because they've partnered with Houston Can Academy. And what they do now is they'll take that vehicle. They'll come out there. They'll haul your vehicle off. They'll do the transfer search or the title search and transfer. And then you get a tax write-off for the vehicle. It's that simple. And then they're going to auction off that vehicle as is. So you don't have to worry about it at all. You get a tax write-off. You're helping do something good. And they do all the heavy lifting. Carsforkids.org. Check them out. Go online. Find out more about them. And when it's time for them to come get your vehicle, do that. Right off the car, not the kid. Carsforkids.org.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Nothing like the excitement of the first game and the season and going through camp, and you come out of that grind and ready to play. So I've been very pleased with our team. Again, still lots of things to improve on and work on, and but guys work very hard, very good camp, very physical camp.
That was the coach on tape. We got the coach live with us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are your home for the Texas Aggies. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. How are y'all this morning?
It was good seeing you last week. We appreciate you taking time with us. And now here we go. Kent State. I was watching some highlights of their quarterback, Dustin Crum. He is a, you know, he was a senior, but he gets to come back this year, and looks like he has. So that's a 6'3 kid that's got a big arm, Coach, that you'll be playing this week.
Oh, yeah, very good player. I mean, and can run, has running ability, makes all the throws, knows where to go with the ball, knows where all the little holes are and how you read all their RPO game and their drop back game. And I mean, just a really, really good player, can make all the throws, and they got really good skilled people.
When you have a guy who can do that and he's athletic like he is and he can run the ball, that obviously adds another level to what you got to do defensively.
Yeah, you got to be disciplined in your pass lanes. You got to rush. You got to put things on. They don't do a lot of quarterback runs and things, but his ability to create plays with his legs and scrambles is really good. We have to understand how to collapse the pocket and not get undisciplined in our rushes and, you know, not rush too far upfield and, you know, compress the inside number when we get quarterback high and play very disciplined football.
Coach Jimbo Fisher with us right here. You know, last week, Coach, we talked about some of the personnel groupings. My dad and I got in a conversation about some of our discussions, and he said he told me about a story where he was at a practice, I guess, last year, and Haynes King made a throw, a really good throw, and you'd come over to him and y'all were talking a little bit and you'd said something about that throw, and he said, let me tell you something, that kid can throw the football now. He can make certain throws that are going to get a coach excited.
Yeah, he does. I mean, we get enamored with his athleticism, which is true, but the guy can really throw the football. He has arm talent. He can throw it to all parts of the field, all the different kinds of throws you got to make. And, you know, yeah. And to me, I listen, you have to be, it's great to be athletic, but at the end of the day, you know, quarterback's about throwing the football. And if he can do the things he has to do in that department, I mean, exceptionally well, not just do adequate, I mean, very, very well.
Well, one of the things we talked about, we went on to talk about how, you know, you guys run out of that 11 personnel, the three wide receiver personnel. And one of the things he told me as an offensive line coach, he said, you know, you got to have wide receivers who have some fight in them, some grit and some dog in them. He said, if you're going to run out of 11, and he said, obviously Jimbo feels confident that he's got that. Can you talk about, you know, the commitment to the running game, not just from the offensive line, but also from your tight ends and your wide receivers? What do you see in that headed into this season?
Well, I mean, you got a lot of experience, a lot of the same guys. I mean, Anais, you know, his toughness and competitiveness is unique, and he's the slot who does all the digging out of all the extra nickels or backers or whatever it is. And, you know, he goes back and plays running back in the way he plays and hits guys in the backfield. I mean, it's a very unique situation, and, you know, he is exceptional in that and very tough, very competitive, willing to do that. And then our X and Z's are. I mean, they know it's part of our game. Our tight ends, Wiedemeyer is really, really, in my opinion, he came in as a more of a receiving tight end. I think he's a very well-balanced tight end now. A lot of big blocks. We run the counters and the zones and all the stuff. We move him in protection, and the things allow him to use all of his talents. And he's turned into a really good blocker along with the other guys. So, you know, they're willing to do that because they know, listen, if we do that, it's going to help our play-action game, our boot game, our naked game, you know, our shots down the field. So, that you know, they're willing to do all that.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, how does it change for you going from a quarterback with all the experience that Kellen had to a guy that doesn't? How much more patient do you have to be?
I think you got to be patient, but, you know, at the same time, you don't want to put limitations on it. I mean, just let it play where it plays. I mean, and he has great knowledge of what we're doing. I think, you know, in the game, I think, you know, he has a knack when he gets 11-on-11 in the team and things. He plays really well, and I expect he'll play well in the game. But now there may be something, but same time, you got to have patience. You got to have patience with all of them. And sometimes, you know, as a coach, you got to emphasize that to yourself coming back. But at the same time, you know, he's had a really good camp, and I thought he had a really good day yesterday.
Give us the name of a defensive player coach that we might not know yet that you think is really going to step up and help you guys defensively this year.
What'd you say, defensively?
Defensively.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of almost everybody's back, but, I mean, you know, I think Brian George is really emerging as a corner who's a very capable guy playing in a lot of different positions. Our backup line, I mean, our other linebackers, as far as White and Cooper, I think, are guys. You know, T. Lee, those guys are all young guys at Hanford. I'm expecting really good things from who has played really well. So I think inside, I think, you know, Shamar Turner is a young player for us. Man, we think the world up is going to get a lot of playing time this year. So I think there's a good group of those guys.
Coach, you do anything different right now than year one at A&M? I mean, I know you want to get things established. Do you have any kind of ways that you have operated either Florida State or here that once you have the culture established that you're looking for, where you alter the way you do certain things?
No, I think because you have so many young players, you know, in college football, you got to continue to stay in a rhythm and a thing to keep establishing culture because you're playing so many young players today. I think you can't realize that they've got it already. And I think you got to be very careful of that. You got to keep staying basic in a lot of areas.
Jimbo Fisher here on ESPN 97.5. How is your recruiting with the top five finish in the country, coach, and you're walking into living rooms and then the transfer portal as well? How different is it for you this year than it was in years past?
Well, I think guys are very happy where we are. They see that, you know, we're heading in the right direction, and hopefully we can continue that. I mean, we got an outstanding team here to play in Kent State. So, you know, we have to – our kids are seeing it well. They like it here. They like the commitment we have here. Our staff is doing a really good job of building relationships. So I think recruiting is going very well, and I think people are starting to realize, you know, what the capabilities are here at A&M.
Will you continue – because the four-year player, obviously, you know, you got young guys as opposed to guys that – or at another program that can maybe walk in and play right away, but are you going to continue a commitment to high school football players as opposed to using the transfer portal more?
Oh, yeah, we've been a huge high school proponent. I mean, we've taken very few transfers, if you have to, for something that you have to have, but I still think that the lifeblood of your program is high school, and that's what we'll stay.
Yeah, yeah, and you guys continue to, I mean, by all accounts, you guys are recruiting at a level like never before, Coach, so congratulations on that. Man, it's got to be good to be done with camp and, you know, all of the grind that was, the heat, the rain, and everything else that you have to go through to finally be playing a football game this week.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's great to go. And sometimes, I don't know, sometimes you wish you had two more weeks. You always say that. You know, you're as openers, man. You kind of dot I's and cross T's. But, you know, we're excited, and I hope that we have a good week of practice.
With the finish last year, Coach, and I would imagine a lot of guys were excited and everything else. Going into a football season, can you compare it to other seasons? You had a national championship team. Can you compare it, what this team looks like to you now that other teams look like, really successful teams look like?
No, you can't. I mean, each team's different. Each year is different. You don't know until they get under the lights and play, and you have so many still young players, new guys you got to fit in, and as the role goes on. I mean, you know, you're emerging, and I think each team will have to develop its own personality and its own demeanor, and you can't, even those teams that were championship teams, you didn't always know that totally in the beginning. I mean, they kept emerging, and I think that's the part about your growth, your maturity as far as how the season goes, your work ethic, and how you gain confidence in what you do and how you execute.
Got to get that execution, and it starts this week against Kent State. Coach, we appreciate it. This is the first of a season-long listening to the coach on Tuesday morning at 7:15 every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, your home for the Aggies. Man, we appreciate it, and best of luck Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Good luck. Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can hear all the games right here, and you can hear Coach every week on Tuesday morning, 7:15. And you Aggies, you Longhorns, you can listen too. Okay, you're gonna learn a little something about Aggie football because you're gonna be playing.
Well, you're gonna be in the SEC.
You're gonna be in the SEC.
You gotta learn how SEC coaches talk. You gotta learn how SEC coaches look at football. You guys are gonna have to learn a brand new method of football.
Yeah.
It's called SEC football.
It's different.
And then do this also. I need every Longhorn listening. Get your kids. I know you're on the way to school. I need y'all to do this. Ready, kids?
SEC.
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 Okay, do that. You have to learn to do that.
You don't.
When you're going to be in the conference, you're going to get kicked out.
Yeah. You want? How long do you want to be
here?
Do
you want to get kicked out?
You want to be with the big boys?
Do you want to go back with Baylor and Iowa State?
Yeah. No. When Alabama is playing Oregon,
you
got to, at home, you have to scream at your TV, SEC.
That conference you and Oklahoma left in tatters, you want to go back there?
No.
Because Oklahoma's not going back.
Yeah. Hey, the American's got an opening for you, Longhorns, if you're looking for a place. Okay.
One more programming note for all you Ags. Every Wednesday night, starting tomorrow for the rest of the season, except for the off week, 8 to 9 p.m., Jimbo Fisher Coaches Show will be right here, too.
Not just the Ags. The Longhorns should be listening, too, because it's the SEC.
Yeah, all you SEC fans like Texas and Oklahoma.
Georgia.
All you old money and all you new money SEC fans.
Yeah.
Y'all can listen to an SEC coach here 8 to 9 every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, right.
Yeah. Aaron's got that program. 8 to 9, is that what we're going
to
do?
Yeah.
8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you got to listen in.
Longhorns, if you guys want to sponsor, if you got a Longhorn business and you will say, I wish we were involved in the SEC now, hey, give us a shout. We'll hook you up with Todd Farquharson and we'll get you sponsored. We'll get your Longhorn business sponsored with an SEC coach. You can kind of be in the SEC now. Kind of, in a way.
A little bit. No, yeah, a little bit. You can start now. You have to start.
Like this. Like we could do like
Jimbo Fisher. You want to practice before you get there? Yeah.
Yeah, we say, all right, coach, thanks for joining us. That's Jimbo Fisher brought to you this week and every week by Horn Fans. Make sure for all the latest in Longhorn news and notes, you go to hornfans.com or orangebloods.com. You see?
Yeah.
That's how that can work. You can have an association with the SEC before 2025.
Burn Orange Nation.
If you want to. Yeah. That's right. Well, if you want to act like you're in the. You know what? Act like it. Okay, you ain't been there before. Act like it, Longhorns.
Act like you've been there before.
Yeah, but you haven't.
That's and there the we mean the SEC.
And there we mean big and time start football.
I try to get my wife to chant SEC. So far, she's not doing it.
She's not doing it? SEC.
Yeah.
No, now every game that you see with Georgia in it or Florida or Vanderbilt, you got to start chanting SEC.
Yeah. No. Well, we're positive. We're quite positive that in games, you and I have talked about this, if the Longhorns are getting beat in conference, the SEC chants are probably going to start on the road. Same thing with Oklahoma.
It's going to be. If Oklahoma State beats
Oklahoma, can you imagine those chants?
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine Oklahoma being on the road, losing a lot. But, you know, even if it's 7-0 with 10 minutes to go in the first quarter, the SEC chants are going to start. And then Oklahoma's going to pour it on people. Texas? I don't know. Let's see. 728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And when we come back, the Deshaun Watson latest right here for you.
It's good stuff.
And cuts and everything else that's going on
with your
Houston Texans. Right now, though, Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford is where you're going to buy your Ford car or truck. And look, if you're looking for the best deal, this is what happens. You don't become the number one commercial dealer if you don't give the best deal you possibly can with the best service that you can possibly can. And Ford speaks for itself. You want that F-150. If you're a starter car, you want that EcoSport. You need any kind of van. They'll customize it to exactly what you need. And they've seen everything, especially for you commercial people. They have literally seen everything. That's why you become the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Fords. And now it's carried over, and it's not that it's carried over. It's always been the same way at a retail spot, on the retail side. So they're growing. They are getting bigger and better, and they want you to customize your vehicle exactly how you want it. So you go to ChastainFord.com and you get exactly what you want, pay the best price you possibly can at the price you need it at, and you're going to be completely satisfied. Or you can get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Just 2 exits from 59, 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, before we get started in the segment, I want to acknowledge all those people in Louisiana. I know I've got some friends who are in New Orleans right now, lost all their power, and I know there's some people going through some difficult times, those hurricanes. We certainly know about that here in Houston. So hopefully our friends of the east of us will be able to recover quickly. There was word that they weren't going to have electricity for they weren't going to have electricity potentially as long as 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And no fresh water for 3 to 5 days, something like that.
My brother-in-law's in Baton Rouge, and he doesn't have any power. He's got a generator. He's 100.
Oh, so in some Baton Rouge was an issue.
Baton Rouge too. Oh yeah. No power.
I didn't know it was that far west.
Yep.
Well, it kind of changed his track a little bit, didn't it? I think they said it kind of changed the pathway, and it
they got the
They got the dirty side.
Yeah, they got some of the whip on it. So they got it hit bad. It's bad. No, and thoughts and prayers to all of you. I know that I bet you Tiny's out there. I bet you the Cajun Navy had to be there because that's what the Cajun Navy does. That's what they're built for. And especially in Louisiana, they are so great. Maybe we'll hear from Tiny. Hopefully, we got the big Crew de Rue tournament coming up where they try to help people. The Mina Shriners and the Ronald McDonald House and the Heart Association. So that's what Tiny does. So maybe we'll get an update from him on what's going on there. It's got to be bad. It's got to be really bad. It sucks. And Louisiana's just been getting pounded the last 3 years.
I mean, it is pounded. It has become Hurricane Alley.
It's unbelievable. So my wife was up in Missouri this weekend. And she said that in the airport, people are watching, and people were saying, now, why would anyone live there? Why would you live there when you're just on that water? And you know New Orleans, you caught it before with Katrina. It destroyed your entire city. And yet you go back, and you live there, although a lot of people didn't go back and live there. But you go back and live there. So you just got, you know what? You just got to expect this. This is your life. Well, yeah. And if you live in Oklahoma, guess what? You're going to get a tornado at some point.
Yeah, but you hope that it's not every freaking year.
No, right. But you know what happens every year? It tornadoes in Oklahoma every year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but those are different areas. Name a place. Of Oklahoma.
You got earthquakes in California. Name a place where you don't.
There's been a lot more of them over the last 6 years. The hurricane frequency has really ramped up for East Tech, for West.
God's picked up his hurricane game.
East Texas to just east of New Orleans has really ramped up the amount of hurricanes they've seen.
Yeah. Tulane had to, I just got a text from Luke about Tulane. Tulane had to reschedule its game, move its game.
It turned into a road game.
For the Saints are going to be playing at the Cowboys stadium. So, they can't go home. LSU has been here, and they're going to California to play in the Rose Bowl. And by the way, I really like LSU in that one. Kind of see where that is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because UCLA's got to be feeling pretty good about itself right now. They played Hawaii, not LSU's defense. You know what? They're going to get a taste of Stingley and some pro defensive backs and some pro defensive linemen. So it's going to be a little bit different when Dorian Robinson ain't going to be able to throw.
He wasn't, but he was struggling to throw.
He can't
throw
anyway.
They were just running the football. It's going to be an interesting battle. It's funny, on my text string with the Joe Moore Award guys, the offensive line group, they were looking at one of them. Aaron Taylor sent some of the tape to another D-line coach and asked him about what UCLA did and if it was unique. He said, not really. He said, really, I think their success was success was more based upon Hawaii and their lack of talent and lack of issues up front. So it's going to be interesting to see what Chip Kelly, because Chip Kelly is doing some new stuff offensively, to see what that means against LSU. I know it's probably not a game that's going to excite. It'll have a little bit of excitement with college football fans in general to see if Chip Kelly can have a resurgence on the West Coast and West Coast football can matter again. It's been a while. And then if LSU, you're two removed from last year. You had a honeymoon year. You lost so many players to the NFL. But now the expectations are going to be a little different. Now it's like, okay, Ed Ogeron, you got last year out of the way. You lost all your starters. We get that. But we're expecting a little more now.
Yeah.
Are the Texans expecting more from Deshaun Watson? Have they named him starter yet?
They have not officially named him starter, although I don't think they've named – Did they name it? I don't think
Coach, they don't have to name.
I don't
a starter.
Think Coach Culley is named a starter. Well, they don't have the to Bears name a starter. Did, and I'm sure other teams are.
There's never been a doubt who the starter is for the Texans.
Right,
the guy who gets like seven throws a preseason game.
Let's see,
instead of the one who gets 20.
One of the top 100 players in the NFL.
Tyrod Taylor?
No. Deshaun Watson is 18th overall, and you know what? He's not good enough to start for the Houston Texans.
Number three on the depth chart. He can't even get on the field.
Can't even get on the field. So that's a problem. But
has anything
but that's
changed with Deshaun Watson?
That's an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
But it is an embarrassment of riches. You have Deshaun Watson third?
Yeah.
I mean, how good are one and two?
So what do you think comes of this? What the Texans have said, they're going to make him inactive if well, I don't know, Aaron Wilson reported that the Texans are saying he's going to be, and if in fact he has to be on the roster, if in fact the NFL, if they can't come up with a trade, if in fact the NFL doesn't put him on the exempt list, then he'll just be inactive. Now, according to the CBA, according to one NFL reporter, according to the CBA, if you are inactive for more than four games, the player can file a grievance if he's healthy. If you're inactive for more than four games, the player can file a grievance against the team. Do you think Deshaun would file a grievance for being inactive every week?
Does it change their money?
Whatevs.
Does it change their
money?
No. Why would he care? Why would you?
Because he has said he's not going to play for me.
Would you want to go put a uniform on?
No. No. Well, no.
Would you want to stand out there?
No.
Would you want to watch the Texans?
No.
Do you think Deshaun wants to watch a Texans game this year?
So, yeah, I guess he doesn't. Yeah. No, he doesn't ever show up in the building.
I'll just ask you, if you were Deshaun Watson, would you want to go every day? Go on game day, or would you rather stay home?
Oh, much rather stay home.
It's not even a question.
Because I can watch Red Zone.
It's not even a question. And I'm on Better Call Saul now, which I'm like, why did I take so long?
Yeah.
The show's incredible.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
So I'd much rather see Better Call Saul than have to stand on the sidelines. Well, no, if you're inactive, you don't have to, but you got to show up.
No, they wear t-shirts, the active guy.
Yeah,
the
you
active
have to show up at the building.
Right? I don't know, you have to show up at the building.
You want to get your paycheck?
Well.
Show up at the building.
Well, no, they'll probably just say, you don't have to come, Deshaun.
I would make him. I'd say, you know what? This thing's such a big pain in our ass because of what you did and because of how you took our $27 million signing bonus. We gave you everything you wanted in contract negotiations, and then you decided, I'm not playing anymore. So, yeah, you got to show up now. I'm starting to get not happy with Deshaun.
What?
I get being upset with ownership.
I think
there's positions of leverage and power he has where he could make the Texans uncomfortable, but he could still do his job that they gave him money for. Like, he took a big ass contract. He all of a sudden got unhappy with Texans management and ownership. That was already coming. Did he just not know football? Did he not see all the issues before?
Because apparently, and Cal had even said this, Cal was in the locker room talking to him, and he wanted to talk over everything that was going on and wanted Deshaun to be a part of it and wanted to listen to him. And then as soon as it came time to nut cutting time and making a decision, Deshaun is like, wow, that's weird. You didn't even interview
the enemy. I kind of just forgot about the whole hiring process. Yeah. That was a big part.
That was the whole thing.
Big problem. But still, if you are getting over $100 million on your deal guaranteed, and you are,
yeah, but if you can force your way out of this situation,
then don't sign. You shouldn't have signed that contract.
Let me ask you this, Lance.
Honestly.
Let me ask you this though. With Nick Caserio taking over, have things really changed all that much?
I mean, some. I think they're handling the roster better. I think they have a little more competitive back end.
How are they doing on that paying players and trade?
Yeah,
front?
That's boy. That's a is this is tomorrow? What is today? Is today Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay, so on Throwback Thursday, I'm just gonna have a picture of Bill O'Brien and Nick Caserio side to side because that trade was a Throwback Thursday for Shaq Lawson, an NFL exec who I don't usually talk to much except right around draft time. He texted yesterday and said, oh, my God, they're doing it again. I said, what? He goes, the Texans literally converted the salary of Shaq Lawson previously into a signing bonus. So, in essence, they paid him almost all of his money, most of his money for this year. They paid it up front so they could buy themselves, quote-unquote, cap space. And then they traded him for, a seventh-round pick or sixth-round pick for Shaq Lawson. He goes, do you understand that they could have, if you're going to get a late round pick, you give away late round picks because you're taking on something that is not advantageous for you, which would be a bad contract. The Texans, in essence, paid off a salary and then took a very low, meaningless draft pick for a player who they had traded Bernardrick McKinney for. He said, all you had to do was sit still on the contract, and then if you wanted to convert it later, you could have converted it later to buy yourself cap space if you needed the cap space for anything. He said, and if not, you keep the contract what it is, then you try to deal him and get rid of him because you say, oh, look, we have a lot of depth at defensive end.
we're going to move Shaq Lawson and his contract, and we'll free ourselves of that money. He said, this is, he said, and I swear to God, these are his words. I want to make sure I get his words right here, because I read this and I'm like, oh my gosh. He said, that made them look like more laughing stocks if possible. If possible. And I said something about Nick Caserio. He goes, most guys would be fired for converting $7 million to signing bonus and then trading for a late round pick, was his comment to me. Unbelievable. And this is one of the guys that I wanted to see get a legitimate shot as a general manager for the Houston Texans. And he's like, you know, with all, and I reminded him of that. He goes, with all due respect, Lance, he goes, I appreciate, you know, you trying to put my name out there. He said, but no one wants that job. Like, that's the worst job in football. It's a really bad job.
It's arguable whether it's the worst or the best, because you could just get over on your owner and your own. You can make stupid, do stupid stuff, and your owner would never know.
It's hard to win, though. But yeah, it's you have to have Jack.
Well, you better be good at your job.
You didn't have Jack Easterby.
Well, you did. You did have to have.
No, you didn't have to.
Yeah, you did.
Omar Khan wasn't going to have Jack Easterby.
Well, guess what? Omar Khan didn't get the job because he wouldn't have Jack Easterby.
You know who screwed the Texans again? Laramie Tunsil. If Laramie Tunsil, when Jack Easterby asked him, hey, Laramie, so are you going to, can I ask you to really go to bat for me when the new general manager asked about me? If Laramie would have said, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then we got out of the room, just said, FOH. Not going to bat for you. Had he done it like that, Jack would have kept going.
So you don't know, but a lot of people might not know even what you're talking
about. Jack Easterby was meeting with, this is what I was told by two people and then had it confirmed by another team. Jack Easterby was meeting with the leadership council. So it was his little, when he saw that the general manager position was going to go to a guy who was going to be able to decide Jack's fate, he tried to go talk to the guys individual, the leadership council, and like try to butter him up and like, hey, could you put in a good word for me? And the first guy he did it with was Laramie Tunsil, and Laramie's like, F no. I'm not going to put in. And so Jack basically shut down the rest of the interviews he had, hauled ass to Cal's, got in a prayer circle and said, let's go get the Jet and get our guy, Nick Caserio. That's our guy. And they prayed their way into the Jet, and got in there and went and got Nick Caserio, who wasn't even in the mix, hadn't even had an interview, one part of the Corn Ferry list. Jack got him in, negotiated a 6-year deal for him, completely conflict of interest, since they both have the same agent, by the way. And so Nick Caserio's now got a 6-year deal, and Jack is
he's locked in.
He got, yeah.
Oh, Jack tweeted something the other day about, you know, our people here in our country and how good we are and all this stuff. And every single comment is, Jack, get out of here. Jack, can you please leave? Jack, can you never, ever? Jack, can you die? I mean, it was just like, oh, my gosh. This guy, stop. Jack, stop. It's 746 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk right now.
Well, stop sending me messages on Twitch, Jack Easterby's burner.
It's time to talk right now about... and we'll talk about the cuts on the other side. It's time to talk right now, though, about GimmeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf, over at GimmeTheVin.com. And he just gives you more for your, car. He just does. And he says, if I can't, I'll send you $100. Now, why would he send you $100 if he can't beat a CarMax offer? I was talking to the guy here in Houston. And he said, one time, John Clay Wolf sent $100 to a person in Houston over all of these years, because they gave like CarMax gave like three or four thousand more than the car was worth, and John Clay Wolf just said, okay, you can have it, but that, guess what, that's the worst deal I've ever seen. And John Clay Wolf has seen plenty of lousy deals. He bought my daughter's Frankie's car, and I was like, yes, give me that money. It's the worst car ever. She was playing bumper cars with it. So he gives you more, period, exclamation point. So if you're going to sell your car, and now is the time to do it, go to GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, 750 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us, according to 24/7, Jeff Driscoll and Shaheem Carter. have been, well, according to Aaron Wilson, Shaheem Carter, and Jeff Driskel also being released by the Texans. 3 o'clock is when you got your final cuts down to the 53-man roster. Sarah Barsha put out hers, but it was before Shaq Lawson was cut, because she had Shaq Lawson in on the team, making the team. I don't know if Shaq Lawson, the way he has played, was ever going to be on the team.
Honestly, when we looked at that defensive end stuff, and okay, Jordan Jenkins is going to play, Charles Minhu's going to play. Those mm-hmm. are big, bad boys. And then, you know, Jacob Martin is your best pass rusher. Jacob Martin, tell you what, I give Bill O'Brien this credit. Bill O'Brien's trade that we make fun of, and for good reason, you got a third-rounder back for Jadeveon Clowney, and you paid $7 million. If you're going to pay $7 million of a salary, you should get a second-rounder back for him. But lost in the shuffle is, okay, Barkevious Mingo, but the other throw-in was Jacob Martin. They have, in essence, traded Jadeveon Clowney for Jacob Martin, and when you say it like that, well, Jacob Martin and whoever the third-round pick was, I can't remember what they did with the third-round pick, probably not much, but when you look at what when you look at what Jacob Martin has done and Jadeveon Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney's the better player. I'm not saying he's not. But when you look at the money, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney is now on his fourth team in 4 years, right? He's played with the Titans, went from the Texans to Seattle to the Titans, now to the Browns. No one wants him on a long-term deal. Nobody. No team in the league wants to give Jadeveon Clowney a long-term deal. That's very damning at his age with his potential. With Jacob Martin, for the money you pay him and for the amount of rush that he gives you for that dollar amount, and I would argue that this year you're going to see Jacob Martin. I would put an over-under. I know you have to put an over-under of like 5.5 sacks on Jacob Martin. Realistically, I'll be shocked if he didn't get to 8 sacks this year with Lovie Smith. I think Jacob Martin, Bill O'Brien, one of the only good things that he did here from a personnel standpoint was bringing in Jacob Martin. Because Jacob Martin has turned into, he's a guy who could, Shaq Lawson can't get on the field. I mean, little Jacob Martin, undersized defensive end, he's putting Whitney Merciless out of a job. Like this guy, guys who are first round picks, they can't beat Jacob Martin. And when I wrote him up out of Temple, I'm like, man, I love the way he's undersized, but I love the way this guy plays. Just such a hard playing guy. Man, there is a spot in the league for hard playing guys, especially if they have some rush to them. And they just happen to find the one guy, Lovie Smith. You remember Mark Anderson out of Alabama? He went on to have a big season, and with Lovie Smith and his defense in Chicago. I think this is really going to benefit Jacob Martin too. And you're right, Shaq Lawson. It was hard to find a spot for Shaq Lawson. You want a $7 million back? Or I think he was $7 million. Yeah, you want a $7 million backup?
Mm.
Not me.
No. Let's get Chris in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's got some Deshaun thoughts. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How are you? I love the show. Hey, I had a question. So I know during the offseason, there's always been a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson, but then also there's a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers. Lance, I wanted to see, can you explain the difference in they both hated management and they were both upset, or ownership, or however you want to put it. How did Green Bay get Aaron Rodgers to agree to play a season, to trade him, and we can't get Deshaun to agree to, like, just suit up and go out there? If he's not on the exempt list, like you guys have been talking about for a couple days, how can we not, like, work with his agent to get him to agree to just, like, play nice in the sandbox for one season, and then we'll kind of grant his wishes since we're kind of in this predicament? I wasn't sure how that worked,
that's
and
a good
how
question.
They were able to get it done and why not.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the if we look at how it's different, number one, a new general manager came in, and Nick Caserio, and he took the job. About the only appealing thing of the Houston Texans job is Deshaun Watson. So, number one, you don't want the one appealing thing that you have to go away, especially at the hardest position to find. Number two, or to that point, Brian Gutekunst is the general manager in Green Bay. He's been there the whole time. I think the other thing was there was always a belief, like Deshaun Watson, while he's only played his football in Houston, he's not as locked in as Aaron Rodgers, who's been a lifer in Green Bay, an absolute lifer, 15 years in the league over there, 16 years in the league over there. So he's got deeper roots over there with Green Bay. Deshaun Watson is getting further away from competing for a Super Bowl. You could argue that Aaron Rodgers is just as close now as he's ever been in terms of Super Bowl. So you go back to Green Bay, you still have a chance to win at the highest level
as a player who's beginning to age a little bit. Now, the similarities, to your point, Chris, I think if the Texans really decided that they were invested in potentially trading Deshaun Watson, maybe they would have approached it differently. But Deshaun Watson wouldn't even answer their calls, wouldn't pick up their calls. Like, how can you even talk about trading when Deshaun won't answer anyone's calls? He wouldn't answer texts. He wouldn't answer calls. He had no communication with the Texans at all. It's kind of hard to get things done. Now, I guess you could go through, you know, the argument could be you just go through the agent. You don't need to go through Deshaun. But I don't think Nick Caserio ever, because in Nick Caserio's mind, would you have even taken the job if you thought there was a chance Deshaun wanted to leave?
Yes.
You still would have taken
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I mean, you still are going to get draft capital for him. Not, you know, it made it a lot harder once there was 22 lawsuits.
Granted, Deshaun was just, was their only asset, and he was a big asset. But you're on an asset-less team right now.
Asked out?
Assetless.
Asset. Well, if you have asset-less. No assets,
you're asset-less.
Then you're asked out.
Right. You're okay. Pancake.
So the Texans are asked out.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
They're pancake-less.
I mean,
they're
it sounds pancakes. Right. Yeah.
That's what they are. And you take the job anyway because you figure, I got a 6-year
deal.
You
can't get a better. The terms ended up being extraordinarily favorable, but Nick Caserio could have got a job. There would have been lots of people who would have hired Nick Caserio. Couldn't have been a better job than this.
Your boy, Bucky, continues to say, Texans, just play him. Texans, just play him.
Well, he thinks they should force his hand.
Yeah.
Because he thinks at some point.
The Packers were going to with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Packers were going to. Well, that's what Bucky's whole point is. The Texans don't know how to handle any of this stuff.
They don't know how to handle anything.
They don't know how to handle anything. And I thought all that would change with Nick Caserio. Really?
Because
I did.
I don't think. Has the owner changed? That's changed?
No, and ultimately that's what we have to look at.
All right. I was just wondering if the owner was still there or if he sold the team or what. Because that's something. When we had Charles Robinson on talking about Stephen Ross and his relationship with Roger Goodell and saying, you know what, he's probably finding out, you know, what's going to go on with Deshaun. And he's probably, you know, saying, hey, lobbying, whether or not, I mean, can you see Cal trying to lobby Roger Goodell, trying to outmaneuver or trying to coerce or schmooze Roger Goodell in any way? Cal is going to do that? Is
no.
that? Is there any? I'd rather.
I'm sorry. Did you say outmaneuvering Cal?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Dell trying to massage to you know, in any way, shape, trying to be more humane, trying to schmooze and trying to get close to Roger Goodell. The least close person in the world is Dell, and I'd rather have him doing it than Cal trying to, you know, figure out a way to get Roger Goodell to put him on the exempt list for him or anything mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Right.
Can you see Cal calling up?
I can't.
Hey, Rod.
Hey, bud. Hey, pal.
Hey, buddy. No. Hey, can you see is Roger Goodell going?
Hey, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you guys doing?
Will you help us with this Deshaun thing?
Hey, buddy.
Oh, I can't. I wish I could help you, buddy.
Yeah.
That's going to be up to Nick. We'll see what he does with that trade. Yeah. Hey, at least it's not the mean guy that used to scream at y'all,
but
he's not there anymore.
But it was good talking to you.
But you can't. You take care. Yeah, tell Janice
tell
I
mom,
said hi, okay?
Tell mom I said hi.
All right, take care, buddy.
Cal, but believe it or not, that's not my forte. I don't even have the power to do that. But it's called a commissioner's exempt list.
But it's just called that.
But it doesn't mean I actually get to put people on it. That's just the name.
Yeah.
I can only commission certain things.
Oh, okay. I see now.
Okay.
Kind of like fantasy football. I can commission that for you.
Yeah.
I can commission
How's
this.
How's your fantasy team going, Cal?
Hey, buddy. Did you have a good draft?
I don't want to play this game anymore. It's too easy.
Hey, buddy. It's like you're talking to your six-year-old your 6-year-old nephew is what it sounds like. That's the same voice I would use. Hey, buddy. I heard you did a good job. I heard you got a hit. Did you get a hit? I heard you got hit in T-ball, buddy.
Mm.
That's great. I heard you caught one. Yeah. And that's how I'm going to talk to you if you enter the Puppy 3. Best ball fantasy football. Here we go. You ready? Here's one that they're offering at Underdog Fantasy. $5 entry. And if you finish 51st through 100, you get $500. Okay, that's great. What else, Lance? How about 11th through 20th? $3,000. Ooh, that's better. How about what if I finish in fifth place? Glad you asked. Fifth place is $30,000. First place is $200,000. Second place, $100,000. Listen, this is what you do. It's a $5 entry fee. You can enter as often as 150 times. So you can spend $750 for a chance to win the money I just told you about. It's $1 million total in prizes. And right now they have 123,500 entrants. They're going to get to a total of 223,000 when it's all said and done. Best ball format, meaning you draft your entire team and whoever the best scores are at every position, that's who your starters are for that week. You don't sit start. You don't have free agency week to week. It's that simple. Use your promo code radio when you go to underdogfantasy.com. Promo code radio, they're going to give you a $25 bonus when you sign up, when you make your first deposit. And you can put your entry into the Puppy 3 Best Ball Tournament or one of the great tournaments they have available at underdogfantasy.com. Terms and conditions apply.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.